Phil, there are representatives of a dozen different churches and faith groups in Assisi this week. It's for a meeting focused on the role of religious communities in protecting the environment. Would you like to talk with us a little bit about the inaugural procession, the unfolding of this afternoon's opening of this three-day conference, and what you're looking forward to?
Yes, I think this meeting really is based on a very simple fact, a simple realization that out of the world's 7 billion people or so that we are now, over 80%, well over 80% of them adhere to one religious tradition or another. I think it's also increasingly being recognized that religious communities offer a stability. They offer a long-term vision. They're present in isolated and rural areas as well as in the big cities. And so they quite simply reach more people than any other organization or institution. And many of these people, of course, already have some kind of care of creation principles at the heart of their tradition. That's why this ACT Act, Alliance of Religions and Conservation, was born. And that's why 20 years after their first interfaith meeting here in Assisi on faith and the environment, over 100 of these religious leaders are back in this same town to take stock of their past achievements and launch some new and creative ways of protecting the planet. So they begin, as you say, with a very colorful procession and a ceremony in some way showing the different aspects of their faith traditions. And then after that, the meeting gets underway on Tuesday and Wednesday, getting to the heart of these discussions, coming up with some good ideas and some ways forward to try and continue this work between faiths and the environment.
You come round to it nicely, Phil, because I'm actually wondering that beyond the pageantry of the event, what kind of practical environmental projects will the delegates be discussing during the course of the meeting?
There are so many different ideas in so many different countries all the way around the world. Just to give you a taste, a flavor of these kind of projects, for example, there are hundreds of churches in the United Kingdom that have signed up to what they call a Living Churchyards project to try and protect the various different species of wildlife there. Fishermen in Tanzania, for example, have pledged to stop using dynamite and other explosives that they traditionally use to catch their fish. Buddhists in Mongolia have restored a ban on hunting and logging in some of their sacred mountain and forest locations. Christians, Muslims, and Hindus have some joint projects on environmental education in sub-Saharan Africa. Many religious communities have begun greening their church buildings, their temples and mosques and so on. As you know, the Vatican has been leading the way in this over recent years, using the solar panels that have been installed on the Paul VI audience hall to produce alternative sources of energy, and working on many other initiatives to reduce its carbon footprint and to try and become the first carbon neutral state. So really a huge variety of ideas, many of which, of course, can be taken up from one country, one city, one town to another.
Phil, thanks a lot. And we're going to be looking forward to talking with you more over the course of the next couple of days. All right.